15, and we're going to land back at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, and then 2 Corinthians 5, 17. While you're going there, and while the kids are going back to children's nursery or children's church, I appreciated all the music this morning, by the way. Man, it's good. Good worship. We come to sing and worship Jesus in that. But while we're going there, God, I was getting ready for church this morning, and God told me to tell you this. This is extra. It's a bonus message, if you will. He said he doesn't like it. He compared it to 911. He goes, 911 is not the number you call for a conversation. Amen? 911 is not the call you make in relationship. Amen? 911 is when you call for emergency. Like if you call 911 today, there's going to be somebody coming in there going, the first thing I'm going to say is, what is your emergency? Right? But if you go to your favorites and there's a person in there that's your favorite, that's the person you call the most. Mine is I reset. See, Melissa's my favorite. I'm winning points right now. Y'all don't know that, but I am. And her name starts with an M, right? But in my phone, I put an A in front of it. It's A Melissa, or she'll be at the top. Yeah, I'm letting that sink in. Y'all just hold on. So when I tell Sirius I need to call A Melissa Shelton, right? And she calls her, because she's at the top of my favorites because she starts with an A, when her name really doesn't start with an A. But she's my relationship. I call her when I'm happy, when I'm sad, when I'm mad, when I need, right? You understand what I'm saying? And there's other people in there, too, that are in the favorites. Most of them are councilmen. They're not all my favorites. I'm just kidding. Goodness gracious. We got great councilmen here. All right? So what I'm saying is, God doesn't always want to hear from you in an emergency. He wants you to call on Him when things are great. When things are blessing you and you don't know why they're blessing you. And He also wants you to call when there's an emergency. But He wants to call you in every season of life. Because if you only call an emergency, if you were the only emergency, and some of y'all know what I'm talking about. If there was somebody in your life, they only called you in an emergency. After a while, when you look at your phone, you'd go, this ain't going to be good. Amen? Now, God doesn't mind you calling Him in trouble, but wouldn't it be good every once in a while? If I get caught up in the Holy Spirit right here, just do something else. Wouldn't it be good if you just call Him and say, thank you. Amen. Or I love you. Or you've been better to me than I have been to you. Thank you for finding and rescuing me. Maybe a thank you, Lord, that you allow me to call. I'm glad your number's in my phone. Amen. Because sometimes we go to God for all the wrong reasons. I like to call Him when I'm doing my best, when I've got everything going on. It's a good call, ain't it? Hey, listen, some young people, I don't like to share all my little secrets. But if you really want to bless your parents and you want to be blessed big time, just call them every once in a while. You know, Mom and Daddy, I love you. Then you know what? You're going to see some things come back your way. It's just a little experiment you can try, but God is the same way. Goodness gracious. I hope y'all got that. My goodness, I gave y'all enough. If you didn't get enough time to find 2 Corinthians 13, 5, you may repent now. Amen? Goodness, we'll have time. Let's just get in the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 13, 5, examine yourselves. Are y'all seeing that? The first part of this message will be unto salvation. The second part of the message will be unto service, okay? I want to tell you that this morning. If you're not saved, the first part of this message is for you. If the second part of the message is for service, so it's for the church. So if you're born again, God's trying to get you to do something, amen? Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know ye not your own selves. Know that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. I'm going to tell you right now, the Word of God in the very first couple of scriptures I'm going to preach out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 are going to put you under an examination table. It's going to put you under a microscope. And that microscope is for you. It's to test yourself, whether you be in the faith or not. And if you're not in the faith, if you can't find yourself in the faith, then you are going to fail the test. And failing this test is not a terrible thing unless you fail the test and never do anything about it. Amen? The Bible says if you take this test and you fail it, then you'll know you're not in the faith. If you take the test and you find yourself in the faith, then guess what? Then you're a child of God, and then you're going to look to your Heavenly Father and say, God, what would you have me do? Amen? We're saved. We're sanctified. We're heading to heaven. God wants more out of your life than you just saying, I got to church. Listen, I love church. Pastors, it's part of our job. It's part of our instruction is to get people to come to church. But listen, I don't want to just see you at church. I want to see you in heaven. Can I tell you something that bothers me to no end? I get to do this. I'll run into people out in public, you know, out in like just different places, and it's somebody that hadn't been to church in a while, man, it's the most uncomfortable 5 minutes of my life. Amen? First, they don't know whether to avoid or make contact. But the first thing they do is they say, Preacher, you know, I'm trying to get, and I'm sitting there going, let's just stop. I would love you to be at church, but I just like you. Amen? I'm not, if you believe this or not, I might be terrible at this pastor thing. I'm not sitting here every Sunday going, where are they at? Where are they at? Just clicking you off. I ain't. If you ain't here, I pray for you. If you ain't here, I thank God. I love them. I hope they come back. But if I see you in town, man, or anywhere else, best thing you can do to me is say, man, hey, how you doing? I love you. I'll say, hey, how you doing? I love you. That's where my heart's at. Amen? Can I tell you something? That's where God's heart's at. Every time I've got too far away from God, when I sook him, you know what he did? It's kind of like this in James chapter 4. It says, if you draw nigh to him, it's consistently. If you draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. Anybody in the scriptures that ever drew nigh to him, God never said, you know, no. The little Syrophoenician woman had a woman at home, had a daughter at home full of the devil. I love her. She's probably my third favorite person in the Bible. I call her the pit bull and the pork chop lady. Amen. She was Syrophoenician. I mean, she was a Gentile. She got ahead of Jesus. She got ahead of Jesus entering the Gentile. She got over on the side and Jesus was going by and she said, Jesus! If you got a devil at home, you'll get loud. If you ain't, you'll probably be quiet. She goes, I got a daughter at home. It's got devil in her. I need, and you know what? He goes, well, you ain't bothering Jesus today. She goes, Jesus talks about, I am the bread for the children of Israel. She's sitting over going, well, Jesus is talking about me because I'm talking about him. He goes, I don't want the whole loaf. I just want a crumb. Is there anybody in here just wants a crumb from Jesus? That's the kind of people I want. I want the people I eat. They don't have to eat the whole loaf, man. They just come in here desperate enough. Just give me a little bit, Jesus. Give me a little bit of Jesus. I'll do something with it. Amen. Watch this right here. Let's go. We're going to examine yourself, so please look at yourself. We're not going to be long today. That's like the setup of all times right there, ain't it? I build your hopes up and I crush them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, y'all seeing that right there? Here's your examination. You're looking at yourself this morning right here in the Word of God. The Word of God is like a mirror before it's anything else. It's a mirror before it's a sword. Amen? Y'all better get that. You'll see yourself in it. Look, can I say this? As the Word of God is a sword, but it does more cutting on you than it does other people. Have y'all ever seen that? Have y'all ever seen that when you ever try to unsheath the Word of God on somebody else? Christians used to be good at sword fighting each other. Amen? God, but a lot of times if you'll let it cut on you before it cuts on somebody else, it'll be good. Amen? Yeah. All right, I gave y'all enough time to get there. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. This is not a suggestion, it's a truth. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if you're in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The way you walk will be new. Can I tell you that? Your past is going to be directed by God. The way you walk, you're going to go places that you'd never, ever imagine wanting to go. I'm telling you right now, when I first got saved, I thought, man, nothing's going to change. I think I told my wife that. Matter of fact, we were riding down a road, Mount Carmel Baptist Church Road. We were driving down that road, and she said, what's going to happen? Not much, honey. We're not going to get crazy with this thing. We're not going to get too crazy in this. We're just going to try to go to church and be, you know, I don't know what's really happening in my life. I just know that I got saved, and I think we're just going to try to do some things different. But don't worry, it's not going to get too crazy. We're not going to go overboard with it. God laughs when you say you're not going to go overboard with it. Amen? Because as soon as we start heading down that road, next thing you know, we've moved 14 times. We've been in several different kinds of ministries. We got to see a lot of things happen. But let me praise God. God said, I'm going to take you some places you never thought you would go. If you really get saved, you'll go places that you didn't think you'd go. I'm serious. You'll walk in places. Your path will be directed by God. And you know what? You'll think sometimes, there was times when I first got saved and first started preaching, I was driving down the road and I would see certain churches just by the outside. Because sometimes if you look at a church from the outside, it's perfect. No, y'all get that later. I would say, boy, that'd be a good place for me, Lord. That'd be a good place for me right there. I never even knew what pastorship was about. When I found out about it, I never wanted to do it. But all of a sudden, you know, God said, I've got another place for you. Amen. I've got a place for you. And I in a certain place, I thought, man, I'd serve there or I could be there. God would shut every door. But when God opened certain doors, I'd walk in them and, man, that's for me. Amen. God will take you places. God will let you be with people. I'm going to preach this a little bit if y'all be all right. If you're a new creature in Christ, God will introduce you to new people. He's going to introduce you to people that will open doors and do things for you and give you platforms that you never ever imagined. If you'll just be obedient in your calling, if you will talk to the people God tells you to talk to, if you will give to the people that God tells you to give to. I'm not talking about prosperity right there. I'm talking about when God says go there and do that, it will look strange, but God is making heavenly connections to use you for the kingdom work. Amen? New creatures, they meet new people. Can I tell you something? When you are a new creature in Christ, you get saved, he will let people exit your life too. Y'all, some of y'all need to hear this. You have some people leaving your life since you've been a Christian, and it's not by accident. Amen? It's God's got to let them go out the door. Amen? God's got to let them exit because they have a bad influence in your life. If they stick around, they'll be toxic to you and to the kingdom call in your life. Let that sink in. Y'all, I lost about 25% of you on that word right there. But I like them. They're my friend. We need to recategorize some people sometimes too. We need to put the title of friend on some people that we're calling enemy, and we need to put enemy on the title on some of the people we're calling friends. Y'all don't amen nobody when they say good stuff. Amen? You have to. God brings people in and out of your lives on purpose. You're going to meet new people, you're going to see new people, but new people's going, they're going to go because they can't do. If you're really living for Christ, there's going to be some people who got to get out of your life because you know what? They can't stand to be around the heat or the light. Because the light exposes sin. Everybody who says, man, listen, did anybody ever get saved in here? When you got saved, you got excited and you realized, wait a minute, that person who said that I needed to get, never mind, y'all are going to get it. See, when I first got saved, everybody was praying for me to get saved, even the unsaved. My life was so messed up. But when I got saved, I was thinking they would go, good. But then they would say, you've gone too far. Or you got too much. Or you talk too much about it. You were supposed just to get enough, like the vaccine. You get just enough of the deal that you don't get the real thing. But I hate to tell you, I got the real thing. Can I tell y'all something? God doesn't want a less you excited about the thing. All he wants to do is turn you. He wants the same passion, the same desire, the same love, the same vigor, whatever you had before God. All he wants to do is take that and turn it 180 degrees and take his hands off of it and let you run with it. God did, when he saved me, God didn't say, Kevin, settle down. He said, just take that fire this way. Never mind, y'all. That's all he wants from you. Some of y'all get saved and settle. You were crazy for sports, crazy for games, crazy for everybody else, crazy for this world. But God saves you and you become, I'm not outspoken. I think the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Amen. It didn't say the quiet ones. It didn't say the shy ones. It didn't say the backwards ones. It said everybody that's redeemed say so. Every once in a while, you need to let somebody know that you got it. your relationships are going to change. Boy, are they going to change. The thing you thought you needed, man. First of all, can I tell you this? It's like the woman at the well. I love her. Amen. The woman at the well had five husbands, and the one she was living with was not her husband. Amen. That sixth guy must have been a doozy. Amen. No, come on. Y'all get it. Y'all so spiritual sometimes. Man, sometimes you got to just give me a break right there. That guy that was living with her now, I mean, he had to be somebody because she married everybody. Amen. And this sixth guy, he was so rough. She's like, No, I'm not doing that. Not with you. I'm not even driving by the courthouse with you. Amen. You can stay here. You can have a mat laying right over there, but no, I can't do it. Did you ever notice this? The sixth man led to the seventh man. Six is the number of human beings. God took her to number six where he could find number seven. She rolled up on six and said, "This is the last man I ever want to meet." And then she met the real man, Jesus Christ. Jesus walked into her life, sat down on a well, and you know what? He was thirsty. But he was waiting on somebody that was more thirsty than him. I love when she first met him. She says, "Those Jews," because he was one. He goes, "Those men up there, mad at men, mad at Jews, mad at everybody." Jesus did something that blew her world, blew her whole mind up. "Give me something to drink." Can I tell y'all, while I'm still driving through that right there, can I give you this? You know what he did? He sent all the disciples away. Did y'all know that? He sent all the men away down to town. You know why he did that? He wanted to show her that there was a man on the face of this planet that didn't want her for what she could do for him, but what he could do for her. Some of y'all need to find Jesus, because what he can do for you, no man or no woman can do for you. I love when she left there. She got that living water on the inside, and she left her crack pot right there on the well. Amen? She left it leaning on the well. Some of y'all need to find Jesus and leave your old shell of who you are laying at the well where Jesus is and go about your regular business. Amen? He'll change your relationship. Some of y'all need to have a relationship change. Y'all need to fall in love with Jesus instead of falling in love with somebody else. Can I give y'all some dating advice? Find somebody who's chasing Jesus. If you're that person looking for somebody, run after Jesus as hard as you can. Pray hard. Read your Bible hard. Serve in ministry hard. And if somebody looked to your left, you're looking for your right, and there's a girl or a guy there trying to keep up with you, marry that one. Marry her. Can I give you another little tidbit of information on that right there? Just ask them when you're with them. Here's a good one. Here's a good pickup line. "Hey, can I see your Bible?" If she don't have one, he don't have one, she ain't the one. But can I tell you this? If she slides your old Bible over there and it's jacked up, I'm talking about if it's been read, it's been marked in, it's been worn out, you might want to say, "Hey, do you have plans for the next 25, 30 years of your life?" Because you're exactly what I need. I need somebody who knows what the book says. Amen? Now, don't go roughing your Bible up just trying to pick up somebody. Read it. Some of y'all right now trying to bend them pages. Right now. "Man, I want a husband so bad. And I need a girlfriend." You have a messed up Bible, friend, you'll have a pretty good life. You have a pristine Bible, your life will probably be messed up. That's the truth. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, things are all becoming new." Verse 18. I'm not going to skip over this verse. I want y'all to get this. "And all things are of God." I almost skipped that verse right there, that first part of that verse. All the things that are passing away and all the things that are becoming new are of God. God's doing it all. Some of y'all sitting here right now, you're in 2020, you're going, "Why is God doing all this?" He's doing it all to take some things in your life and kill them and bring things new to your life. Some of you right now, you've had your hopes way too much in government. You've had your way too much influence in your life has been in media. Some of your lives have been too much in finance. Some of y'all had so much hope and everything else, you've never really truly trusted Jesus Christ. Because you've had so much. I love that. I love my job. I love my home. And as long as I got everything, and as long as everything's going my way, and as long as the conservatives are in charge, and as long as this is happening, then you know what? Then we're going to be good, Lord. But you know what the Lord would do? And I told y'all this last week when I preached this. God will crush everything in your life that you have above Him. If there's a name that's better than His name, He'll take that name and crush it for you. Amen? I used to have preachers on pedestals. Amen? I used to say my dad's name before I'd say God's name. You know what He let me know? Your daddy's a good man, but your daddy's not God. I'm scared to death when people come to me and say, Preacher, I won't serve anywhere I won't be unless it's you. Praise God, you're scaring me to death. You want God to send me do something else with me? Praise God, just go ahead and say, that's our God right there. I'm not. Somebody said, well, He's a good man. He's a perfect man. You know what I am? I'm a messenger of God. I'm a male. I'm a glorified male man. That's it. Listen, I can't do nothing but give you what God says. If you want a perfect male man, you ain't ever going to get one. Amen? You might as well just say, I'll just take him at his word and I'll compare it to the word of God and see if it's all right. But everything that's happening to you, write this down. Everything that's happened to you, if you're a born-again Christian, is happening to better you or to get rid of something in your life. Amen? And God don't mind to do that. Whew. Glory, ain't that good? And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Boy, that's good, ain't it? The ministry of reconciliation. Some of y'all are sitting here right now going, I don't know what my ministry is. It's the ministry of reconciliation. If you've been saved, you're supposed to go to other people and say, guess what? God's trying to reconcile with you. And when you go, what does that mean? He's trying to reconcile. You know, you and His relationship is at odds. But God has made a way through Jesus Christ to bring you into good standing with Him. And they'll say, well, how do you know? Because I am a part of the reconciliation ministry. Where everything was wrong with me, it's everything is right with me through Jesus Christ. Listen to this. If you find out God loves you that much, you'll love Him back. Some of y'all think, man, I don't know about, because you think God loves you a little. You think God's loving you a little bit when God's loving you a whole bunch. Amen? Well, let me say it this way. God is loving you. He was loving you while you were yet an enemy. He was dying for you. Amen? When He was hanging on that cross, He says, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. That was the reconciliation ministry of Jesus Christ. And somebody picked up on it right away. That thief on the other side of the cross on the right side looked over and said, you know what? He just reconciled everything with us. That prayer right there is for me. Amen? That prayer is for you. To all things are God. He hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19. To wit, that God is in Christ. Guess what? Emmanuel, God with us. He was wrapped in flesh, God, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Praise God. You know what He did? He slew Jesus and gave us the word to go tell other people, you know what? You can be made whole. You can be made whole. God became a man and died on a cross that you could be whole. Somebody asked me one time, how do you minister to certain groups of people? How do you minister to the drug addict? How do you minister to the homosexual? How do you minister to the person who's a thief? How do you minister to the person that's just backslid? You know, you do it the same way. It's through the gospel of reconciliation through Jesus Christ. As God died for you already, all you have to do is call upon Him. Believe that He is the Son of God. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Ask Him to be the Lord of your life. And when you see it happening, your whole life will change. You'll be a new creature in Christ. Things will be happening in your mind and your heart that you can't even explain. Do you know that? When you get saved, there was a lot of times I would tell God, I'm not doing that. Amen? There were some things in my life, I ain't going to get clothesline on you because I'm not a clothesline preacher. It's hard enough for me to get in a suit. Every Sunday, I talk myself into it. Sorry, it's truth. I talk myself out of a tie every Sunday. I wanted to wear one this morning, but I said, I ain't giving in. I don't care how many Gideons they bring up here. I ain't wearing one. But I want to tell you this. You know what God will do about clothes? God will do this about clothes. If it doesn't glorify Him, He won't have your mama, daddy, or anybody else tell you. He won't have your preacher tell you. You know who will tell you? God will. The Holy Spirit will. There's been some times where I just want to put my thumb in the eye of some folk. Y'all, I know I'm not spiritual all the time. I'm like, I'm going to do that anyway. And I'll get there and I'm sitting there and God say, you know, I'd appreciate it if you go in there and do this for me. Amen. I don't really care what you wear. You was made out of dirt anyway. But praise God, if you're going to go there with that kind of attitude, you need to wear what I want you to wear, not what you want to wear. That's kind of humbling. Amen. Because, you know, you'll show up somebody, man, you look nice. You look good. You're like, yeah, I was going to wear tank top and shorts, but sorry. You can get away with just anything you want to. But your relationship with God will suffer. And your relationship with people you're trying to win to Christ will suffer. Amen? Golly, that didn't cost you anything. That was an extra bonus message in there. To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto him, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, look at this real close with me. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled unto God. It's nobody else's job but ours to send the gospel out. God has given the ministry to us. Amen? He didn't give it to anybody else. We are ambassadors. If you are saved this morning, you are an ambassador for Christ. Some of y'all are waiting to get to heaven. You are literally already a member of heaven. You're already an ambassador. That means you have full rights as a citizen of heaven. But you're here on earth, and wherever you go is sovereign land of God. Good. Man, y'all don't believe that kind of stuff, because if you did, you'd shout right there. God, listen, an ambassador, they usually have an embassy, and they usually have people are there, and they don't fall under the same rules and laws that are governing of that natural place. They are from somewhere else, and they'll pull out, this is immune, we're immune, we're ambassadors. Amen? We represent another state, another country, another nation, and we're here on their behalf. Oh my goodness, I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on. Praise God. When you're saved, God makes you an ambassador of reconciliation. So guess what? You show up, and you're when everybody else is saying despair, death, pain, misery, going out, going under, going down, you're sitting there going, there's hope. There's joy. There's peace. There's love. There's a future. There's an expected end. There's a way out of the mess. Everybody's like, what are you talking about? Don't you know what's going on? Yeah, we're getting one day closer to going to heaven. I'm one day closer to going to heaven. Amen? I am one day. Man, this last year, y'all know this. I'm not telling you a secret. This last year, I had a heart attack. Amen? I did. I had a heart attack. You know what? I was thinking back a couple months prior to that. I went for a routine checkup. And you know what they told me? We need to run some dye through you and we can see if there's anything going on the inside. Everything else looks fine. But you know what? We got to run that dye through. You know what I thought? I said, no. Amen? I put it off. But you know what happened? A couple months later, when you're in the hospital, they said, we're going to run this dye through you. I had no way of canceling that. Amen? They said, we are going to run through this dye through you. And you know what they found? There was two blockages. Amen? Think about it. You know what? If I'd have done the examination first, I wouldn't have had to have the second one in the emergency room. Oh, goodness gracious. If we would examine ourselves now, we won't have to worry about when God comes on the scene. When God comes on the scene, we can say, God, I've done the best I could with the time that I had. I served you to the best capability of my life with the time that you've given me. Amen? That's all God wants from you. Your complete obedience and sacrifice of your life. Amen? Ain't that... Some people say, I just don't know what to give God. Obedience. If you're obedient to God, you never have to make an apology. You never have to give the sacrifice of, oh God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. You just say, hey God, I did my best in what you called me to do. But all he wants you to do is be an ambassador. Ambassadors look different, talk different, walk different. They seem like they're from somewhere else. And we should. Amen? We should. People, I'm telling you right now, some people should be coming to you in the secret times of your life. In the most desperate times of their life, they should be coming to you because you represent an ambassadorship of reconciliation to God. There should be people approaching you at your work and in your family, and they should be coming to you and saying, hey, man, will you pray for me? Hey, what does God say about this? I love it when people come to me and say, hey, you know what? I've got a spiritual need. Can you help me? I can't usually help with a physical need, but I can help with a spiritual need. You know what I do? I go to I go to the throne of grace. I go to the throne of grace, and I just say, God, help them. strengthen them, encourage them, show them your real self. Amen. Show them who you really are, how much you love them, how much you care about them. Watch this right here. Let's get this last verse in verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Did you listen to this? If you don't realize how much God loves you, that verse right there should tell you everything you need to know. God made him sin who knew no sin. Listen, Jesus never sinned. But you know what? When he put him on that cross, he bore on himself every sin that this world can have. He put it on him who knew no sin. You know why he did that? Where he could put righteousness on you that knows no righteousness. We needed one thing to get into heaven. One thing. We needed the righteousness of Jesus Christ to get in heaven. And the only way we could get it is if we got a sacrifice. If we got somebody who would take our place. You know what? Jesus came down in the form of a man. Y'all know this already. Amen. And he took our place on the cross. Right? He took your place. Right? On the cross. That place for you, that was supposed to be you. That's supposed to be you who died on that cross. But he took your place instead. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, amen, took your place. He just switched roles. He became sin who knew no sin, where you can switch roles and become righteousness who knew no righteousness. Amen? Some of y'all say, what is ministry? I say this all the time, what is ministry? Ministry is giving somebody what you have plenty of that they have none of. Amen? We had zero righteousness. Jesus had an abundance of it. Amen? And he took some of his righteousness and put it on us, clothed us. When we stand before God as believers, he'll say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. He's really not talking to you. He's talking to what's covering you, which is Jesus Christ. If he says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. You'll be standing there in all your righteousness. You'll be standing there in all your sin. And he'll do exactly what he did to Jesus. When Jesus was covered with the sins of the world, he crushed him. Amen? He crushed him. He crushed him. Every time I read that in Isaiah, it pleased God. It pleased him to crush his son. Because the minute he took the sins of the world, God became a judging God, not a loving, saving God. And if you stand before him with the blood of Christ on your feet instead of on your heart or on your life, you would have trampled the only sacrifice you have for sin. Could you imagine standing before God and saying, you know what? I tried to do it the best way I knew how. I tried to do everything I could. I went to church. I tried to keep the commandments. I'm not as bad as most people. And all he's looking for and all he's listening for is the blood. Amen? That's all he's looking for is the blood of Jesus Christ. And if he don't see it, you'll get judged. If he does see it, the judgment will pass you by. Amen? He'll just pass you by. Let's all stand. As they're getting their song ready, I was thinking of something there for a minute, and I want to